You made it through the first three rounds with us. And this episode, we decide the final four. Who makes it? Who gets left behind? This is an all-new episode of the Wrestling Guys Podcast, and it starts right now. All right, coming to you from the Forgotten Borough, Staten Island, New York. This is the Wrestling Guys Podcast. This is the fans' perspective on all things in the world of WWE and the world of professional wrestling. We're your hosts. I'm Eric, otherwise known as Fizz. With me, as always, my tag team partner, Chris Never Miss, a.k.a. Ravishing Chrissy Rude. Final Four gets decided tonight. Our Fastlane pay-per-view has come and gone. And did we just see the greatest women's match in AEW history? All of that we will be discussing. But before we go any further, you know how we get down on the show. We get our socially distant clink. Keeping it safe, keeping it beautiful. I'm going to do it one more time. I don't think you heard that. There you go. That's beautiful. Starting it off nice and proper. I have an immediate question right off the bat for you. Everybody wants to know, did you watch the Snyder Cut of Justice League? Has nothing to do with wrestling, but I don't care.
I did.
What did you think? An immediate impression.
So immediate impression, obviously, it's far and away much, much better than what we got with the original 2017 version that Joss Whedon kind of cut up. And I want to say that it's really good. I really, really enjoyed it. I would sit through it again and again with no problems. Did it blow me away? I can't say that it like blew me away, but I'm really glad that it was good and that we got quality out of, you know, what we've been anticipating for a long time now. I hope that Zack Snyder gets to finish what he kind of started here. It doesn't look like he will. WB, for whatever reason, is being very defiant.
They're a bunch of dicks. Let's just say it.
What I didn't get was, I had originally thought that the movie, when this all was announced that it was going to be happening, I thought that he had like filmed basically an entire new movie. I didn't realize that the only part that he actually brought people back to film was apparently the nightmare sequence at the end.
Yeah, only four additional minutes. The rest of it was shot originally.
That part blows me away. That for he gave us a four-hour movie, and 3.5 hours is stuff that he shot in 2016, 2017, and it was all cut. So like Darkseid was originally supposed to be in it, and they cut it all out. All the cyborg stuff they cut out. They cut out Kiersey Clemons as Iris West. They cut all that out. Like, why would they do this? And I guess if you believe Ray Fisher, you know, I know, you know, times are very sensitive, obviously, right now. Ray Fisher came out and had a lot to say about Joss Whedon and WB. Just like anything else, you had a 50-50 split of who believed him and who didn't. But it turns out, like, he may have been right in what he said. You know, WB and Joss Whedon completely butchered what Zack Snyder did. Gave us a shit movie, and now Zack Snyder, in his original vision, brought us what we were supposed to get, which is quality Justice League story. And I don't understand the business of movies, obviously, but I don't know why WB would decide to, you know, butcher something that would have made them a ton of money, would have had great praise, and would have given them a long-lasting franchise. Instead, they gave us what they gave us. I don't know. It's great. But to answer your question, I really, really, really enjoyed it, and I was very happy with it, and I'm glad we got it.
My immediate impressions, and I don't want to go on a tangent here, but I had to know, because when I asked you originally, you said you hadn't seen it yet. I saw a Friday night. I sat through the whole 4 hours in one sitting. It did not feel like 4 hours because I was just so engrossed in the story. My immediate impression is, long live the Snyder Cut. I hope they let him finish it, because this is exactly what I wanted when they announced the Justice League movie, not that fucking hack job that Joss Whedon gave us. And, you know, there are disputes. Did he reshoot? He says he only reshot 10% of it, and the director of photography said no, it was more like 80% of it. And you could tell the immediate difference in this one compared to the theatrical cut. The amount of story, the amount of action. Cyborg and Flash are just filler in the theatrical cut. In this one, Cyborg has a fully fleshed out story. He's actually one of the key cogs in the story. Flash is a fucking G in the movie. Like, he actually does action. He fights. He just is not dropping sarcastic one-liners. You know, Superman's... listen, I'm not going to... This might be I know you said you were going to... Are you going to cover it on your fans' perspective upcoming episode? Have you recorded
it? We haven't recorded yet. We do plan on doing not only a review of the movie, but also a look into director's cuts in general and what they mean to fans and and the movie business overall, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So to put a bow on it, I give the film a solid 9. I hated the original. Absolutely hated it. Where I was going to pretty much give up on DC. And this is exactly what they gave us. I love Ben Affleck as Batman. I'm going to say it. I don't care who. And
no, I'll tell
you right now, I need more of that nightmare vision because I think that's an awesome way to go. I'll leave it at that. It's on HBO Max right now. They also just released a black and white version called Justice is Gray. It's the entire movie just, you know, in a black and white scale. So, or grayscale, however you want to say it. That remains to be seen. I wanted to get your, as we give our perspective on wrestling, the Fans Perspective podcast, make sure you tune in for that. When they do that, that's going to be an awesome episode. At FPP Show, at Wrestling Guys PC. That's what we're talking about now. And, I mean, I want to get into this, Brad, immediately, but I don't, because there are things that be discussed. We had the Snyder. I had to get that Snyder cut out, man. We had to talk about that real quick. But we got to talk about, did you get a chance to see Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker on AEW Dynamite last week?
Sadly, no, I didn't.
Oh my God. I would have to say it is the best women's match that AEW has put on to date. Britt Baker is a superstar in the making. If she's not a superstar already, she should be the women's champion sooner rather than later. I love Hikaru Shida too, but Thunder Rosa gave us, they both just gave us a great performance. They pulled out all the stops, ladders, chairs, tables, thumbtacks. Britt Baker was bleeding profusely from her head. At one point, blood was in her eyes. She couldn't even see.
Hard way, or?
I think she might have bled it. I really didn't catch if she did or not, but I believe it was pouring from the top of her head at one point.
That's something you don't see a lot. You don't see that a lot in women's wrestling. You don't see a lot of blood.
It was gruesome. It was a good solid street fight, what they call a lights out match. Britt Baker, at one point, she has this blood pouring from her head. She looks up at the camera and gives us this little grin. And I'm like, the minute she did that, I was like, that girl knows how to play to the crowd, play to the camera. She's a superstar. There's a shirt already out for that. I think I might actually support her and purchase it. To the ladies, hats off, because I've been the biggest critic of the women's wrestling division in AEW. It still needs work. It's not perfect. But if it's Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker and Hikaru Shida, those ladies leading the pack, I'm all in, to turn a phrase from AEW. And I hope they continue and build this momentum. If I'm booking, and I'm not, obviously, I'm not Tony Khan, I'm not a billionaire, I don't own the Jaguars, but I'm putting the title on Britt Baker sooner rather than later. And I think she's going to be a great heel champion. And her and Thunder Rosa down the line for the belt at one of their big pay-per-views. That's money right there, if you ask me. I thought it was a fantastic match, Chris. I highly recommend it. If you haven't watched it, go watch it, man.
Yeah, I definitely got to check it out. You know, now that you've given it that much praise, you've played it up, so I got to watch it now.
I mean, you know, when you're measuring it out to the women's matches in AEW, you know, I'll be the first to say I have not been thoroughly impressed, and they impressed me. You know, is it the greatest hardcore match I've ever seen in my life? No. But for what they put on, dude, they kicked ass. They main evented, and rightfully so. And they had a good story going in, and the match was hard-hitting. It was brutal. I can't believe Britt Baker. I think 87 thumbtacks came out of her back at the end of the night. The gash on her forehead was legit, man. And if you guys haven't seen it, let me know now at Wrestling Guys PC. What'd you think of the match? I see you getting a lot of praise on Twitter, especially from guys from WWE too. So I like how they're, you know, they don't mind crossing promotions and giving credit when credit's due. Speaking of WWE, Fastlane pay-per-view has just passed us. Now we're officially 3 weeks out from WrestleMania as of this recording. 3 weeks out. Did you watch it on Peacock or did you watch it on the WWE Network?
I watched it on the network. I'm trying to get everything out of the network that I can before it's completely gone, which I think is April 4th.
Yeah, I'm squeezing the life out of it until the last possible moment, especially now I'm seeing that Peacock is editing certain pay-per-views for what they're saying, previous racist content. I don't blame them for that stuff, but I hope it doesn't go into like, you know, if they start editing content just because they find it offensive, half the Attitude Era shit is going to be gone. But as of right now, it's stuff like the Roddy Piper Bad News Brown match from WrestleMania 6, rightfully so. The guy's in half blackface. That's always been a point of controversy since the match first aired. So, you know, rightfully so.
And it's the whole match they're taking out, right?
The whole match and the promo previous to it. Also, when Vince McMahon was ECW champion and drops the N-word. And Booker T says, tell me not to say that. So stuff like that. People do have a problem about censorship. Stuff like that is a little bit... It's not needed, and it was inappropriate then. It's inappropriate now. It's not some type of cancel culture crap, at least in my opinion. I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either. And, you know, if you listen to anybody within the business actually talk about that, like, for example, Bruce Pritchard, who kind of wishes that they could go back and not do that. So if they have that feeling, if they have the feeling of, hey, maybe, you know, in hindsight, we shouldn't have done that, then I think them taking it out is not a problem at all. Not a big deal.
Yeah, I just hope it doesn't start a snowball effect where now we're seeing some racier content being taken out as a result of this. I heard there was some streaming issues on Peacock. I don't know. Like I said, I watched it on the network. I'm hoping for WrestleMania, everything's fine. So far, we see a lot of the main pay-per-views and the current pay-per-views are currently on Peacock, and they said by the summertime, everything should be there. It's almost like starting from scratch. The network is literally starting pretty much from day one, how it was, and they're going to build it out slowly on Peacock, and hopefully we'll get a version of what we see on the network on Peacock over time. I would say is be patient. People are going to be pissed off because the network's not perfect, but it has a great system where you can find the pay-per-views and NXT and old episodes of Superstars and stuff, and you can literally do match markers instead of going through the whole pay-per-view. You could go by match, which is great, you know, especially like my son lately has been on this real kick. We've been playing a lot of WWE 2K19 in lockdown, and he'll start playing with these classic wrestlers. And he's like, yesterday he says, I want to see a Macho Man Randy Savage match. So I went to WrestleMania 8 and I showed him, because he wanted to see one where Macho Man won. So I was like, okay, fine. So I'll go to WrestleMania 8 and I saw him and Flair. And I could literally just go to that match without having to fast forward through the whole pay-per-view, you know. And then today he was, I want to see a Stone Cold Steve Austin match. So I showed him Stone Cold versus The Rock from WrestleMania 15. I literally just went to the main event. You know, you didn't have to fast forward through this whole damn pay-per-view and rewind. You know, it's those little things I think that I'm going to miss the most, and I hope they implement them sooner rather than later, you know.
I think they need to. I think that it shouldn't be any different than what we see now on the WWE Network. It should have all of the content. It should have the same mechanics. There should be nothing that's changed. You know, besides the things that we just mentioned, you know, you want to take the Piper, Ben and Brown match out. Nobody's going to really complain too much, I would think. But it needs to be the exact same. And I don't want to see anything not on there as far as like, I don't want to see them taking things off that they think people don't want to see, like WCW Saturday Night or, you know, the old Coliseum video stuff. Like, leave all that stuff on there because fans do want to watch that stuff. So I just hope for that. If it's going to take them time, I'm okay with it as long as when they're done, it's pretty much the exact same thing that it is on the network now.
Okay. So Fastlane, immediate thoughts, impressions. Did it help WrestleMania? Did it hurt WrestleMania? Do we really need a Fastlane pay-per-view right before WrestleMania? What do you think?
I mean, it didn't do anything for WrestleMania, I don't think. Except maybe Daniel Bryan might be inserted in the triple Universal title match, make it a triple threat. Maybe Sasha and Bianca did not win the women's tag titles like they thought they would.
I was surprised as hell that they didn't. I'm not gonna lie, just because of previous storylines that have done that before, you know.
Yeah, and I was surprised too. But then when Sasha Banks kind of hit Bianca at the end when they were arguing, I'd rather see that. I'd rather see a heel Sasha Banks go up against Bianca Belair at WrestleMania.
Yeah, here's the kickoff to the feud. That's what I liked.
Right. Yeah. What else? I thought the Sheamus Drew McIntyre match was really good. You know, it obviously sets up for Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania. But nothing significant took place. I thought Apollo Crews might win the IC title. He did not. I thought it was a botched ending with Big E winning.
The reports seemed like that it was a botched ending. Big E was always intended to win, but the ending was a bit of a botch, yeah.
How much longer are they going to continue Apollo Crews and Big E, and Apollo Crews just keeps losing? I guess maybe they do it one more time at WrestleMania and Apollo Crews finally wins. But I thought it might have been better off him winning at Fastlane. If he's going to win the title, win it at Fastlane. I don't like seeing an extended feud where one guy just keeps losing.
Right. At least that you know, they're not playing it out where like maybe Apollo is being screwed in his wins or anything like that. Like, he's just losing clean.
Yeah.
So it's like, why do I want to see the match again when you lost three times previously? Right. You know, that's the issue there with me. I'm guessing they're going to stretch it out into Mania. We did get more clarity on the WrestleMania card on nights one and two, I do want to say, I know certain people were hating on it. I liked The Fiend coming back with his burnt look. I got to say, it made sense because the last time you saw him, he was being set on fire. And he didn't come back as clean-cut Bray Wyatt like it was supposed to be okay. I liked the fact that they did. That mask is sick. I liked when they showed his hand coming up. You saw his skin, and his skin was almost bubbly from being burned. And he has complete head-to-toe covered. So you really, you know, you're not revealing anything else. But I just think that, for me, I thought it was cool as shit. I know people thought it was stupid because Alexa Bliss was using her powers and bringing this stuff down on him. And yeah, can it be a little hokey at times? Yeah. But man, when came back, I thought it was cool. Listen, if we could suspend disbelief and say that Undertaker gets power from a fucking urn and that Kane sets off fucking pyro when he raises and drops his hands, like, you have a problem with Alexa Bliss looking and a thing from the rafters falling, like a lightning rig falling? Like, come on, man. Like, don't pick and choose when you want to be offended at wrestling needing to be realistic. I thought it was cool as hell.
Here's the problem that I had. And it doesn't have anything to do with the presentation or, you know, the Fiend coming back or the way he looks, because I thought it was all fun and it was great. The problem that I have is WWE posting that the Fiend returned with the help of Tom Savini. Now, for those who don't know who that is, Tom Savini is a legendary special effects makeup artist. Why do they have to tell us that?
I didn't even see that they did that. Did they announce that on Twitter or something?
I saw it on Facebook, you know, on the WWE page. It said Tom Savini, like, helps bring the Fiend back. Right. And I'm just like, why are you doing this? Like, why give us this cool presentation and then tell us that it's fake? I really don't like this reality era, what I call it. I don't like the constant reminder from the WWE themselves that what we're watching is a show. We know it's a show. You know, it's like, I don't, it's the same thing when you watch a movie, right? Like, we're watching Justice League. We just talked about that. I don't want, in mid-movie, Henry Cavill stops and looks at the camera and goes, you know, this is all a movie, right? It's like, yes, we know, but we're watching, we don't care if it's a movie. Like, we're watching it anyway. I have a problem with, because it kind of, to me at least, it takes away from that spectacle. You know, the Fiend return, he's got charred skin and his mask is all different now. He looks like he was set on fire, and it's like, holy shit, you know, he's back, he's menacing. What's he gonna do to Randy Orton? And then WWE is like, oh well, you know, Tom Savini helped Bray Wyatt look that way. And it's like, why are you telling me that this is not real? We know it's not real.
Right.
I don't know, maybe I'm alone in that thinking, but I'd rather them not do this.
I agree. I'm in agreement with you, because you want us to suspend disbelief, right? And you want us to buy into this thing, and then you release that. So I didn't see the article, but to say that stuff like that, it's like, yeah, it kind of takes you out of it.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time too, it's a fictional show, but when you're presenting it as some type of realism, there is that caveat, right? But I agree. I do agree. I think, like, you know what? There were guys back in the day, and I, you know, I'm not trying to compare back in it to now, but, you know, essentially living the gimmick. You saw them outside; they were always in character. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting the Fiend to walk around with burnt skin in that mask all day. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying is, like, there's certain things you don't have to advertise. We know Tom Savini made the first mask. I'm assuming he made the second one. You don't have to tell us again. It does. You know, the suspension of disbelief then is no longer there. You know. I do think it was cool as shit, but, like, yeah, if you're advertising it after the fact and saying, yeah, Tom Savini made this mask, haha, pat on the back, we got a Hollywood makeup artist to do it, it's like, well, fuck you now, why do I care? Like, you know, I do agree with you on that. I loved, and to keep it going, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, I loved hard hitting. I'm expecting the same thing from him and Lashley. I want them to be stiff as hell. I want them to beat the shit out of each other for this match. I love the Braveheart makeup that he came out in. Not gonna lie, those little stuff too. The only thing that I thought was, like, or funny was, I think about four or five matches were done before 9 o'clock, and I was like, "Holy crap! They're really speeding through these things, man." It was very odd. It was a very very fast pay per view.
I'm okay with that because it's, you know, because of the power of the network, and, you know, now going over to Peacock. Unless it changes with Peacock, but they have the ability to push out more content. So when you're having pay-per-views so close to each other, I'm okay with them being shorter. It almost reminds me of the old In Your House days, you know, where they would be 2 hours.
2 hours, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and then the big pay-per-views were longer because they were a bigger event. After it was over, I realized it ended probably around, what, 9:30, 10 o'clock, somewhere in between there.
Yeah.
And then I thought about everyone who was not on the show, and I was like, but I'm okay with that, you know, because in 3 weeks now we have a full week of wrestling. We had, you know, the two-night NXT, the Hall of Fame right. stuff, the two-night WrestleManias. So I'm okay with Fastlane being two and a half hours instead of being another four-hour show because maybe this is a case of less is more.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not expecting a four-hour extravaganza, right?
Right.
But when you have, like, a match that could probably fucking kill it, like Seth Rollins and Shinsuke Nakamura, like, give him a little time. Why not? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you're already under your time of wherever you allotted. At least I assume. I'm not going to say I know. When you have matches like that, like quality matches, like for instance, the Apollo Crews and Big E match could have got a little bit more time. Instead of the botched finish, but it was just over.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just very abrupt.
Speaking of Shinsuke and Seth, I mean, anytime those two guys are in the ring, I'm looking forward to it. I am a big fan of Shinsuke. His New Japan run, obviously, is legendary. His NXT run is great. He hasn't had that great match on the main roster. Like, he's been given opportunity, you know, U.S. title, Intercontinental title, tag title run, winning the Royal Rumble, main eventing WrestleMania. But for whatever reason, he hasn't had that one standout main roster match. I'm very surprised by that.
At least to me, he's a guy that thrives off of time. I think if you gave him time, he would give you the great match. But at the same time, when you have TV and you have to get in stuff before commercial breaks and stuff, you're not going to get that. You know, you got to adapt a little bit better. The problem is that this guy came in NXT TakeOver Dallas with a fucking lights out match with Sami Zayn. And it's like, holy shit, we're going to get more of that. And we got a few of those matches in NXT, and then he got to main roster and we didn't get that.
Yeah,
and when you thought it was going to be AJ Styles and Nakamura at WrestleMania, you're like, oh, forget about it. Because if you saw that Wrestle Kingdom match, it was like,
yeah, it was amazing. Yeah.
And you didn't get that either. You know, it's a little bit, does he need more time? Yes. Does he need to adapt to, I don't want to say the American system, but to the WWE system, because it's a system unto itself? Yes, that too. You know, I think there has to be a give and take. Both sides need to meet each other in the middle. That's where I think it is. To be honest with you, there are rumors that once his contract is up, he won't be resigning. I really don't know. I'm, you know, again, not an expert here. I'm not signing anybody. I like to see him stick around, but.
I don't know. I think he might be one of those guys that I would actually prefer. Like, if he left, I'd be okay with it. Because I don't see him being the Nakamura that we want in WWE. But speaking of, how about Andrade getting his release?
So he gets a release a few hours after Fastlane goes off the air. It's disappointing because he's a what could have been. He came onto NXT on the scene. I remember Drew the Juice Man, for those of you guys who know, former co-host here, was a huge, huge fan of his, and I wasn't. I didn't like his first initial NXT run, the babyface thing. He went heel. They paired him up with Zelina Vega, and that was it, dude. They were off to the races. They make it to the main roster. They were great. And then as soon as him and Zelina, it was crazy. But this time last year, he was U.S. champion, about to be in the tag team title match at WrestleMania. He gets hurt or whatever. He's out. A year later, they're both gone. She leaves. They split them off first. It didn't work. He needed that mouthpiece. You know, not that he struggled with English, but Spanish is his first language. You know, then there was some rumors about him coming back with Charlotte because him and Charlotte are engaged in real life. And then he just was sitting at home doing nothing. And he's a quality wrestler. If you want to see some great matches, the series of matches him and Rey Mysterio had on SmackDown were outstanding. The matches he had with Johnny Gargano, Aleister Black, outstanding. He could go. He's a great guy. He just needed that mouthpiece. And him and Zelina were a match made in heaven, to turn a WWE phrase around, right? They were great. They split them off for whatever reason. They wanted to split them away. It didn't work. And then he asked for his release. They denied him at first, and now he's gone. Where do we see him next? Maybe back in Mexico. A lot of people like to see him in AEW, but then there's another guy that they're signing.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's where he goes.
I wouldn't either. You know, maybe we'll see the return of La Sombra. He was just asking on Twitter, should he put the mask back on? Should he do it without the mask? Taking like a fan poll or whatever. It sucks because another guy, like I said, what could have been? He could have been your next Spanish breakout star. But again, like once him and Zelina, once they separated him and Zelina, it's like they didn't know what to do. So yeah. You wanted to split them up. You had a plan to split them up. But then after you split them up, you had no plan to what to do with either. So what was the point of that, right? I mean, I think that's where it's like long-term booking and long-term thinking ahead of time does not apply to these people. And I think that's the biggest issue in WWE right now. It's like, okay, what are we going to do? Well, let's split them up. One goes on SmackDown, one goes on Raw. What are you going to do with them? I don't know. Let's see what happens.
That seems to be the ongoing trend for the last few years with them. Mm-hmm. And it's why I think from, you know, watching as a fan, it's why a lot of them don't go anywhere at all. You know, and you can make the case, you know, I know fans like to say that every time an NXT talent goes up, they fail. But there's also a case we made that that's not entirely true. If you look at guys like Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns and, you know, even Drew McIntyre now. But I think that there's more on the other side of that that don't really survive the main roster after having great NXT runs. Even Finn Balor didn't really have the best main roster run. Even though he's the first Universal Champion, he got hurt, had to give it up, and like never wrestled for that title again, except with maybe one time he did.
He wrestled Brock for it.
Yeah, he wrestled Brock. Rumble,
which was good.
Yeah, but like I just feel like more often than not, they bring these guys up and they don't know what to do with them. And Andrade is an example. Aleister Black is a good example. I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone soon.
And that would piss me off, honestly, because they have a great guy there where his gimmick coming off from NXT was fantastic. I was like, this could be, and I'm not comparing him to the Undertaker, but the way he's packaged and everything, this could be the next almost incarnation, a more athletic, dynamic striker, Undertaker. And I was like, he was great. And then he comes up to the main roster and he cuts promos for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. Who wants to pick a fight with me? Okay, him and Cesaro have a really good match. And then again, who wants to pick a fight? And it's like, dude, like give him something else. It's like they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And now he's off TV for months now.
A long time.
It's like, what are you doing with him? If he's gone, I won't be surprised either. And I think I said this last week. You know, they're at the cusp of possibly another mass exodus akin to the Monday Night War, where these guys, well, you know, on the Nitro when they were leaving for more money, but these guys might just go because one, they'll get more use in the other company and they'll get more creative freedom. It's better than money at this point. These guys are leaving money on the table. All right. Andrade has still had a year or two left on his contract. They're walking away because one, they want to be used, they want to be seen, and they want the ability to show what they have.
And they want to work. Yeah.
Listen, WWE is the dream for a lot of people. Some people now, like you see the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, are like, no, we're good. We're going to go start this other thing. And you're going to see these people going to probably eventually say, listen, I don't know if I want to go because you may do this, you may do that. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. WWE is still WWE. They're still the machine. They still will get people who they want. But at the same time, I don't know, man. I think it's crazy that they're letting such quality talents go and they're letting the future go. These guys could have been 10 years down the line, superstars and building your brand, you know, like, you know, he could have taken up the mantle of Rey Mysterio and been that next Spanish crossover star.
Yeah.
And now you don't know. Well, don't never say never. He may very well come back. His fiance is there, you know, father-in-law is there. You never know. Wish him all the best, but it sucks that they're letting these quality talents waste away. That's all I'm going to say on that. Oh, by the way, new Hall of Fame announcement. Kane in the Hall of Fame. Damn, man. Well deserved, first of all. You know, I got to say, and I'm actually talking to, as we're recording this right now, I'm actually talking to friend of the show, Al Muggs, original friend of the show, if you guys listen to the old school podcast. But he said he had just watched Eric Bischoff in the Kane announcements. And he says, for anyone that calls wrestling fake, watch those two men's reactions and tell me that they don't believe something different, which is absolutely right. All right. Eric Bischoff and Kane get announced for the Hall of Fame, and they're both holding back tears.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, this is their livelihoods, you know, things that they did for 30, 40 years. And they put their heart and soul into their craft and their business and their passion. They've had the honor of living what I consider not just the American dream, but the actual real life dream of living your dream, doing the thing that you want to do to earn a living for your life, for yourself, for your family. And now they're being rewarded for everything that they put into it. So rightfully so. I mean, they deserve it. Kane deserves it for sure. He's a legend. And I'm happy to see him go in.
Kane probably one of the best debuts during the Attitude Era and in the first Hell in a Cell match. Multiple-time world champion. One of the greatest Royal Rumble competitors of all time. Most eliminations. I think most appearances ever. He has like a million different tag team championship runs with like a bunch of different partners. Yeah. Hurricane, RVD, X-Pac, Big Show, Daniel Bryan. Like the list goes on and on. Undertaker, of course. Brothers of Destruction. That feud with
Mankind.
Two WrestleMania matches. Paul Bearer, the stuff they had with each other. It'd be cool to see Pete Rose induct him.
Would be funny. That would be great.
That'd be cool to see. Because, you know, Undertaker, I don't know if Undertaker seems to be breaking character now since he's retired. I mean, he told Kane on the bump that he was going to go in, which was nice. And, okay, so on the flip side of that, that same day, the Great Khali gets announced for the Royal Rumble, the Hall of Fame.
So here's why, at least in my expert fan opinion, which I know doesn't, you know, hold much water, at least to those in the wrestling business. The Great Khali is only inducted because they are still trying to gain a big market in India. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure that, you know, he's a huge star in India. And he had that world title run on SmackDown. He can say that he pinned Undertaker clean, which not a lot of guys can say that they've done that. This is clearly not an induction based on the talent that he was or what he meant to the wrestling business. This is just something that I think they're trying to gain a bigger presence in the Indian market.
Okay, so I agree. At the same time, he is a former world champion. You know, he did have a big presence on TV. I will make the argument that he is more deserving than Coco Beware.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a... I think an argument that people have had, especially fans, it's like, well, what is the criteria for a wrestling Hall of Fame, especially when wrestling is scripted and for those who call it fake, I don't like using that word, but it's, you know, they say it's fake. So what is the actual criteria for something that is fake? Coco Beware was, he was a high jobber, if you will, during his run. But before that, during his territory days, he was a big star where he was. And he was kind of a trailblazer for African-American wrestlers, you know, during the 70s and 80s. So there's an argument there to be made for him to be in it. But that's not what he's really remembered for. He's remembered for his WWF run with the Bird. And people are like, well, why is Coco Beware in it? And unfortunately, that's what people bring up. Every time you see somebody like Great Khali inducted, like, why is Great Khali in it? Oh, well, Coco Beware is in it. You know, so I kind of feel bad for him in that sense. But I don't know. I mean, what is their actual criteria? Who decides who goes in?
Absolutely none. And I'm only kidding when I say Coco Beware. You know, he was a staple of the 80s and stuff like that. I wasn't the biggest Coco Beware fan, but I'm only kidding. There is no criteria. Let's just say what it is, right? It's just very much like, this guy's deserving. Yeah, he's in. Why not? My thing is, like, there are still so many wrestlers from back in the day that we're not overlooking. I know I said him, I think, maybe last week. Vader. Yeah. Rick the Model Martel, my guy. Like why are these guys... Yeah, maybe, and I'm not saying they won't be, and they will be eventually, but, like, you know.
What are they waiting for?
Right, like, guys like that. Eric Bischoff, long overdue. Kane, very well deserved it. But Kane is still active in some form. He was just in this past Rumble. And I'm not saying he's not deserving, but, you know, he's somebody that he could have waited a couple years. We know he's in, you know. Right. Like, you know, Molly Holly hasn't wrestled in a long time. Fine, great. But, like, guys like that, you know, your Vaders... Your Rick the Model Martels, Brian Pillman. I mean, come on. Yeah. Like, you know, like, where are those guys?
How about Mick Foley campaigning for Lex Luger?
Say what you want about Lex Luger. Lex Luger's a Hall of Famer.
I don't think there's any denying that.
Yeah, Lex Luger, absolutely. That's another guy. You know, like, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know, I don't know, man. And listen, there's still more announcements to be made. I get that. But the fact that the British Bulldog was just announced last year, that's crazy to me. That's a guy who should have been in years ago.
Yeah.
you know, I don't know. Maybe we're nitpicking here, but, and, you know, again, we don't know the criterion. We don't know what decides it. They're in Tampa this year. A lot of the times they like to give it to the hometown favorites at times. Who the hell knows? I don't know. I think next year when they're in Dallas, I mean, if they don't put Undertaker in when they're in Texas, I mean, come on. I'll be shocked. Anyway, I digress.
And Batista, you know, one final thing. Batista actually pulled from this year's ceremonies by his request, you know, because he had some scheduling conflicts, and so he'll be inducted at a later time.
Yeah, so we see the effects of the pandemic, right? He's supposed to go in last year. They had to cancel it. Unfortunately, he has scheduling conflicts, but at his request, like you said, he wants to go in when there's fans and he can actually, you know, thank everybody properly. He doesn't want to send, like, some type of videotape message, in which, you know, good for Batista,
yeah,
which is awesome. I do like that. New business is settled. Now to old business. You know what we're talking about. Third round is officially over. We're on to our fourth. We are on to our Elite Eight of the greatest WrestleMania match ever. We've been talking damn near an hour. We're killing it right now. I mean, we're just having fun. We're having fun. We're just off the cuff here. But you know what? It's fun. We started out with a huge-ass bracket. You already know the rules. We gave precedence to main events. We didn't really have any particular seating in any order. We just, and to fill it in, we felt, what were some of the best matches to fill in? You know, we did Golden Era, New Generation, WrestleMania's 1 through 12, Attitude Era, WrestleMania's 13 through 18, Ruthless Aggression / Introduction to Our Modern Day, which is 19 to 25, and our Modern Day bracket, which was WrestleMania's 26 to up until last year's, which was 36. And again, this is our opinion, strictly our opinion. Things change. There are matches that we did leave out on the cutting room floor. Maybe one day we'll release the Snyder Cut of this tournament and we could have some different matches in here. But as of right now, we're chilling. And again, this will always change. Who knows? After next year's WrestleMania, we may have a few to add on to this bracket. You never know, right? Maybe we'll do this again. But as of right now, the Elite Eight is set. And I think we're going to start. I want to go Golden Era / New Generation, where it all began. WrestleMania 1 through 12. We have our final two matchups set. Who's going to break out of this bracket and make it to the final four? We have Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, champion versus champion. Hogan, the World Wrestling Federation champion. Ultimate Warrior, the World Wrestling Federation Intercontinental champion. The Toronto Sky Dome. It's WrestleMania 6. We have champion versus champion, and a new champion was crowned that night versus what many consider the quintessential and the best ladder match of all time. You have the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels. You have the champion Razor Ramon. Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels never lost the title. He was suspended. He comes back. He has his own version of the title. We have two IC titles suspended above the ring. It is the ladder match from WrestleMania 10.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It is a tough one. But I'm going to give you my immediate reaction as soon as I said those two matchups. I feel like Hogan and Warrior have gone as far as they can go. I think it's a good match. I think it's probably Warrior's best match, aside from next the year after. However, HBK and Razor is timeless. And this is WrestleMania 10, and we're still talking how about the greatness of that match. You yourself have said it is the greatest ladder match of all time. I'm going HBK Razor to make it to the final four. I don't know where you're leaning, but that's where I'm going.
Oh, yeah, man. I want to lean that way too. I was going to make the argument for Hogan and Warrior because, you know, I think when we look at those matches now, you know, Razor and Shawn is the better match. And not only just because it's a gimmick match and a ladder match. And that ladder match has, you know, stood the test of time and it's given us everything that we have now as far as ladder matches go. It set the bar and it was the foundation for everything that would become TLC, Money in the Bank, all that stuff. Hogan and Warrior is just another WrestleMania main event in a long line of them. It's a great match, but I think where it might edge out the Razor and Shawn match is that you could go into that match not knowing who's going to win. You know, it was two guys. It was Hulk Hogan. I mean, what when you say Hulk Hogan, especially in the late 80s or early 90s, what else needs to be said, right? It's Hulk Hogan. Ultimate Warrior was the guy that they were looking at to fill those shoes. You know, he was incredibly popular. He was an unstoppable force. He would go in there, you know, much like we kind of saw Goldberg do, right? He'd run down to the ring. He would destroy whoever he was with. The fans would go nuts. And then he would leave. He'd come back and do it again. And I just think when they went at each other, Hogan and Warrior, it was like, wow, like who would actually win? Who's going to win? And as it turns out, Warrior won. I can understand going the other way. I mean, I've said it is my favorite match. One of my favorite matches, Razor and Shawn ladder match. I wasn't just going to pick it for the sake of that. I wanted to kind of give a fair argument and look at both sides of what it was paired up with. In this case, I could go Razor and Shawn. Yeah, moving on.
Yeah, man. I mean, I like it. I like it better than Hogan Warrior. I do like Hogan Warrior a lot. Don't get me wrong. Right. But I just feel Hogan Warrior maybe may have been had the benefit of good matchups that it could have moved on. I think it probably could have died in the Sweet 16. But the way it just matched up, it just moved on considerably. HBK and Razor is a timeless classic. And the amount of people that it went through just to get to this final four, Steamboat Savage, Hogan and Savage from 5, this is quality. And to me personally, I think back to what you said, and I want to say it's either last week or the week before a previous episode. And you said, if you want to pick a match and somebody says, show me a quintessential WrestleMania match, HBK and Razor is one of probably my top 5 that I would show somebody first off the bat. You want to see a good WrestleMania match? All right, here's Savage Steamboat, here's HBK Razor, here's this, and this, right? And that's why for me, Hogan and Warrior, you had a good run, but this is where I leave you.
I am excited that this is now part of the watch-along, though, for that ladder match.
Absolutely. I am definitely excited for this next week. I hope my WWE Network subscription holds out and they don't make me fucking switch to Peacock and it's not available because I'm in a new generation bracket. HBK and Razor has made it out. There's our first member of the final four. Now, let's go on. Let's go down. Attitude Era. Attitude Era, I feel like, is going to be a little tougher than this one. You have the main event of what some people call the greatest WrestleMania ever, WrestleMania 17. Rock Austin. Rock is coming in as a WWE champion. Austin, the challenger, just won his third Royal Rumble to get to The Rock against Austin. Again, Austin, 2 matchups for him. Bret Hart, the submission match from WrestleMania 13. What the hell do you mean? Why is Steve Austin a submission match? I don't know, but it's a fucking awesome match.
He did kind of have a submission at that time. He had
the million dollar dream. You have Bret Hart, one of the greatest wrestlers, mat wrestlers of all time. You have Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was a great hand in his own right. But this match puts Stone Cold on the map. One of the most iconic shots in WrestleMania history. The double switch. In my opinion, the greatest double switch in WWE history. Where are you going, man? Putting you on the spot immediately.
I'm going to go Austin Bret here. You know, Austin Rock 17 is the better match in their trilogy. 17, like you said, is considered by many to be the greatest WrestleMania overall ever. But now that we're getting down to like the nitty gritty here and we're thinning out the best of the best, we have to start looking at these matches a little differently and asking tough questions of, how high up does Austin Rock actually go from 17 when you put it up against all the other great WrestleMania matches? It goes high up there. We put it this far in our bracket that I think maybe this is where the buck stops for them.
Ooh.
It's a great match. Don't get me wrong. It's a great match. But I don't want to say it's tainted from my point of view. But Stone Cold himself has said that he hated how it ended. And that was him turning heel and partnering with Vince McMahon. The Austin Bret match just had everything that you could have really asked for in a build-up. They had a great rivalry. And they had the great double switch. Bret turned heel. Austin turned face. It has that iconic image with him bleeding. It told an amazing story. And it gave us the true start of what would become the Austin era. So I give it to Austin Bret here.
So I was actually going to go Rock Austin from 17 because we talk about build and we talk about story and we talk about spectacle. This is one of the greatest builds to a WrestleMania main event in history. But you made a great point there with the ending. So it was Austin's idea to go heel. He felt like he needed something new.
He wanted Austin going heel is fine, yeah. But him partnering with McMahon, which is, you know.
Right, which makes no sense because that rivalry for years. But he said, if I could have done it again, I would have told Vince, hey, watch out for the stunner. And I would have stunned him to end the night off. And he has regrets of doing that. But, you know, hindsight is 20/20. He could have went on to be, you know, terrific. But, you know, we did get some great moments out of him being heel. He was more of a comedic heel at times.
Yeah, he was great.
Right. But when you think about that and him regretting the ending, if you ask him about 13 and you say, that double switch and the thing that we did there, that's one of my greatest moments in my career. For me personally, just like HBK Razor's your favorite match, Austin Hart might be my favorite WrestleMania match of all time. Personal feelings aside, I was going to go Rock Austin because I do feel like, damn, man, the build to that match and the way that the match plays out, and it's just a fantastic match. All right. So, because I am so conflicted, our tiebreaker and last week has been the star ratings. So I'm going to go to the star ratings tiebreaker. WrestleMania 17, since it's the first one I have, Rock Austin, 4.5 stars.
Okay.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 13, Bret Hart and Austin, 5 stars. Austin and Hart do move on. I love this match, but I think Rock and Austin are just as deserving. I had to use the tiebreaker myself because I was conflicted, but I am going to go Austin Hart here as well. Austin Hart have made it into our final four. That's a good matchup, my man. This watch along is going to be money. You're talking right now. HBK Razor ladder match from 10. Austin Hart submission match from 13. My God. This is gonna be fun next week. Get your drinks ready.
Yeah,
I'm on spring break next week. I might have all types of we might be blasted watching these things the next week. I'll tell you that right now.
I might have to get myself a 6-pack of Rolling Rock.
There you go. These. That's what I said. I'm talking about it. All right, awesome, man. We got some good stuff going on. Our final four on the left hand side of our bracket is set. We're moving on. Ruthless Aggression, Intro to Modern Day, WrestleMania is 19-25. And look who we have here. We have a pair of HBK matches. We have WrestleMania 21, Angle, Kurt Angle, that is, the Olympian, against HBK, undercard match from 21. Some people say stole the show that night. I would say they stole the show that night against what some people are now saying is the greatest WrestleMania match of all time, Undertaker versus HBK from WrestleMania 25. Woo! I'm going to say woo again because, damn, that is just tricky. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what we're doing here. But where are you going here, man?
As great as Angle Michaels is, and it was a match that I know that I was looking forward to when it was teased at the Royal Rumble that year, right before that WrestleMania, it's hard to go against HBK Undertaker at WrestleMania 25. And, you know, comparing the two, I think HBK Undertaker edges it out. You can say that as far as quality, you know, that they might be maybe a little equal to each other. But I think as far as remembrance, yeah, we all remember Angle Michaels, but we'll remember Michaels Undertaker from 25 that much more, I think. So I do think that this is the better overall match. And it was a match between two legends that for a little while before this, I had kind of fallen off watching wrestling, which is something that I didn't think would happen, but it did. For a couple of years, I wasn't really paying as much attention. And then when they announced Shawn Michaels was Undertaker at WrestleMania, I was like, yeah, I'm ordering WrestleMania. And I remember you came over and we ordered pizza and we watched it.
Yeah.
And that kind of brought me back into watching it more religiously again. So I'm giving it to Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker here.
I want to shout out Gennaro's. They're no longer with us on Staten Island, man.
Yeah.
Missed that pizza. Noodle Plain. You know what we talk about. Everybody went to Noodle High School if you're listening. HBK Angle is fantastic. So this is funny because if I wanted to do this as I did for the last match, the star tiebreaker, they're tied. 4.75 stars each. In my opinion, Taker HBK, if that's not 5 stars, I don't know what the fuck is 5 stars then. And I do remember that because I was with you. I was in the same boat. I had fallen off for a little bit. You know, we were in our early 20s. We were doing different things. We were hanging out and, you know, wrestling for us. It's not that it, you know, I still kept up with wrestling, but I wasn't watching it religiously.
Right.
And when they said Undertaker Shawn Michaels, I was like, yo, you ordering? I said, yeah. I was like, all right, cool. I'm coming over, man. And when I saw this match, I was like, damn, I fucking miss wrestling, man. Like, this was it, you know? Angle HBK, we were still in our fandom. And I remember watching that match, expecting it to be good, but not as good as it was. Mm-hmm. And it in my opinion, did steal the show that night. I mean, that night for 21, that was Triple H Batista's night. And Cena and Cena's ascension, but each match did not compare to. I remember the two undercard matches that stole the show that night were Randy Orton and Undertaker, and Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle put them over the top. And it was like, follow that. You weren't going to follow it. And to me, it was great, but man, is this very, very close? Absolutely. But when you talk Taker HBK and people it's in the conversation. If it's not one, it's 1A as the greatest WrestleMania. We would be killing ourselves if this match does not make the final four here. So I'm with you, Taker HBK. And we got some barn burners for next week. 25, absolutely, absolutely in our final four. There you go, Ruthless Aggression, Intro to Modern Day. Man. Ooh, this is shaping up. And we got one more bracket left. Who's going to make it out? Who's going to make this Final Four? I hope anybody got some bracket busters, right? Who's the Oral Roberts of this group? We don't know. But going into the modern day bracket, WrestleMania 26 up until last year's WrestleMania 36, we have Undertaker yet again, Triple H making his first appearance in this Elite Eight. So you're talking about Undertaker, Triple H, the end of an era, Hell in a Cell match. HBK is your special guest referee. He had just retired HBK the year before. Triple H and Undertaker both coming off from long layoffs. They have these little views. They're going to Triple H challenges him to a match. They call it the end of an era match. Fantastic match in its own right. Mm-hmm. Against a match the following year. WrestleMania 29 in New York. MetLife Stadium. Rock, Cena, WWE Championship on the line. Previous year, Rock goes over Cena. Now the time the stakes are raised, Rock is the champion. Cena's the challenger. Cena's coming off, though, his worst year ever, as he says, as a professional. Loses money in the bank, but then he wins the Royal Rumble for the second time to go against The Rock. There is our Elite Eight matchup. Where are you going?
I think this one's a little easier for me. I mean, you know, Rock and Cena is a great matchup. You know, they had good matches. I don't think of either one of those matches that they had at 28 or 29 as great, but they were really, really good ones, and they were the culmination of a really long, kind of heated rivalry between the two. But I don't think that this match holds up to Undertaker and Triple H in the Hell in a Cell. And again, not because it's a gimmick match or Hell in a Cell, but you know, it had a really interesting build-up, and you know, this was the second year in a row that Undertaker and Triple H were going to go at each other. Undertaker had been gone for a year, and I remember it well. You know, the build-up, Triple H in the ring about to fire John Laurinaitis, and then the bell, you know, that Undertaker gong hits,
yeah,
and then he walks out and challenges Triple H, and it was something that I know me watching, I wasn't expecting, and you know, and then for it to be inside the Hell in a Cell, it's, you know, end of an era. Shawn Michaels is a referee, tries to help Triple H win that match the whole time and can't do it. I give that one over Rock and Cena. I don't want to say easily, but it's an easier choice here.
Yeah, this is, wow. It is tough. Undertaker Triple H, 4.75 stars. Rock and Cena, 3.5. So here's the thing, Rock and Cena was a great match. I was there and I saw it, and it was great. It was fantastic. I feel like it was better than the 28 match. The stakes were higher, and the match quality was better. But as you said, man, Taker Triple H was something else, right? Mm-hmm. Both returning from long layoffs, you know, Taker going into Hell in a Cell that him and Shawn originated. Now Shawn's the special guest. Right? The story there.
Yeah.
You know, he retired his best friend the year before. Triple H lost the match to Undertaker, but Undertaker left on a stretcher and you didn't see him for a year. So he was like, you know, you won the battle, but I won the war. I don't want to face you anymore. And then he debuts the hair because he needs to change himself. So he cuts his hair and he has the mohawk and, you know, HBK hitting with the sweet chin music while Triple H hits the pedigree and Michaels is conflicted about counting to three, but he wants to end the streak. Dude, this is the story itself plays out, and I'm glad that these two are going to go against each other in the final four. Taker, Triple H from 28, end of an era, going against Taker and Michaels from 25. Man, ooh, this is going to be a good watch along next week. We got some barn burners. Our final four is set. So just to hit you up and refresh you on what it is, we got coming out of our golden era new generation bracket, HBK, Razor Ramon, ladder match, WrestleMania 10 versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret Hart, the submission match, the start of the Austin era, some people may say, from the Attitude Era bracket. From our Ruthless Aggression Intro to Modern Day bracket, Undertaker, HBK from WrestleMania 25. I mean, did you think anyone was going to make it out other than that one? Our Modern Day bracket, we have Undertaker, Triple H from WrestleMania 28, the end of an era, Hell in a Cell. Woo! If you thought the first few rounds were tough,
this is going to be fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah, this is going to be good. And listen, we had some upsets here. We had some good back and forth. We had some tie. We had to do a few tiebreakers. I still feel like Angle and Eddie should have moved on. But our final four is set. It's what it is. I think we got four really, really, really good quality matchups here. That would be a final four, I feel, on anybody's bracket. This is, as Vince would say, this is good shit. So where do you guys land? At Wrestling Guys PC, our final four is set. Do you agree? Do you disagree? As usual, get our podcast where you get all your podcasts. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, make sure you turn your updates on. So every time the new episode is released, you know when it is. You can start listening right away. And here's our final four. Next week, you know what we're going to do. We got the watch along happening. All final four matchups. And I think, yeah, right into the final two. We're just going to do a final four and a final two, I think, in one episode.
Yeah,
right?
We'll be picking the winner next week.
That's it. We're doing it. And what we're going to do is I'm going to throw confetti by myself because we're socially distant here. That's how we get down. But this is great. We got our greatest WrestleMania matchup final four set. And, man, I'm getting excited. That's it. Drinks are required for next week. So if you're going to listen to this episode, you know what you got to do. You got to hit it up, pour a few of your faves, and join us. I like where this is going. It's going to be fun. As we record this, we do have some night one matchups, some night two matchups for WrestleMania. Like I said, we're 3 weeks out. So I felt we were going to be behind, and WrestleMania was in the air, and we were going to be finishing this tournament. We're actually going to be ahead of schedule, which is nice. But we do have a few matchups, night one, night two. So night one, Lashley, McIntyre, Banks, Belair, Bad Bunny, Miz. Night two, Reigns and Edge, Fiend, Randy Orton. Raw tag team title match, New Day, AJ Styles and Omos, which Omos getting a lot of mic time lately. Mm-hmm. And then Braun Strowman versus Shane in a physical challenge match. I'm just kidding, but if there's any slime involved, I'm going to be pissed. So,
And night two is also Rhea Ripley and Asuka?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you're actually right. Rhea Ripley, wow.
I think she's going to win.
I think so, too. And I like that the final two participants in the Rumble are in both women's title matches, which I thought was great. It looked like it was going to be Charlotte, but Charlotte's actually getting over COVID.
Oh.
So that's why she's kind of hasn't been on TV in a few weeks.
And obviously, I hope she gets better. I'm sure she will. And nothing against Charlotte, no disrespect, but I prefer the Rhea Ripley Asuka matchup because it's new, it's fresh, and I think as much as I love Asuka, and I do, putting the belt on Rhea Ripley is the right way to go here, and I see her winning.
Yeah, I like it. Look to the future, right? I mean, let's build some stars here. But here's my thing, and this is why I announced the matchups as we're getting through, and we just announced our final four. You got two nights for WrestleMania, and you have like a handful of matches. Like, so you got 2 weeks to build Mania feuds to put them in. Like, come on, man. I mean, we see, Sheamus and Riddle. Looks like they're gonna dance for the U.S. title. We don't know what's going on with the IC title. You have some, you know, you have the SmackDown tag titles. We don't know what's going on with those. What happened to long-term booking for WrestleMania? Blow-offs to feuds or starting feuds? Like, you're literally a handful of matches are going to be announced within 2 weeks' time. Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here? And you have a two-night event, which means you should be having multiple storylines in the works as we speak.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if you look at what NXT is doing with their two-night takeover event, Stand and Deliver, there's a better build-up with their card there than there is on the main roster.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every match has a story behind it, has some type of feud going into it, right? You know, Devlin and what's his name? Santos Escobar are feuding over the Cruiserweight title. Shawn Michaels comes out last night and just brings out a ladder. Here's a ladder match. And they've been building it up ever since, which is nice because Devlin couldn't do it because of the pandemic. So they had a new Cruiserweight title crowned. And now you have these two feuding guys going at each other. You have O'Reilly and Cole with that buildup. You have Karrion Kross, who never lost the title, against Balor, who's the champion. You know, you have what didn't have a story? The North American Championship. They're doing a buildup night one into night two, a title defense. I mean, like, you know, they have such a better storylines and build going into their event.
And they have now Walter versus Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so and even that, which was just announced. It was a very quick build to a match. You know, Walter makes his NXT debut. He's the United Kingdom champion. Tommaso Ciampa challenges him, and that got heated quickly. And that even that, very short, very simple, but better than what they're doing on the main roster with their card so far. So
it's disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, WrestleMania is supposed to be, and maybe this is where we're kind of traditionalist with it, but it's supposed to be the build-up, supposed to be a blow-off. And, yeah, you know, you can throw in a couple of matches here and there, but, you know, I just think that there's definitely, it feels like there's something lacking with the WrestleMania card, especially when you compare it to the NXT one.
And you have so many writers, right? Why are we not working on different storylines to build different feuds? You have your upper, you know, your main event level people, your mid card, and so on and so forth. And I think that's, to me, the most disappointing. I do think we do get a Seth Rollins versus Cesaro match here. Yeah. I do think Sheamus versus Riddle. But still, like, Sheamus versus Riddle just started this past Monday with 3 weeks to go. You know, so I don't know. I think it's they need to do better in terms of creative. And I think the fans, when they come back, maybe starting to voice the displeasure. And I'm not telling you guys to be dicks, but let it be known that you're not happy with stuff that's happening in terms of creative, because I think that's the only way they're going to realize it. You know, they could release, but so many people, they have a roster for days. You know, our displeasure needs to be voiced. As we wrap it up, and before we sort of put a bow on it, last question I want to ask you for the night. Does Daniel Bryan get into this world title match between Reigns and Edge?
I think in likelihood he does, but I have to say I prefer the one-on-one between Roman and Edge. So I kind of hope that they find something else for Daniel Bryan, but in all likelihood, they're going to go triple threat and put Bryan in it, because I'm sure they don't want to keep him off the WrestleMania card, but there's also no other way to put him on it. So I think he does get involved, and it turns into a triple threat.
What if it is that he's now the special guest referee and he ends up screwing Edge?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a way to go, but then I think that would mean that Edge loses, and I see him winning the Universal title.
I do too. Wouldn't mind if Reigns retains, though. I'll tell you that much. I'll say it again, and I don't care who cares or has a problem with it. No one could touch Roman right now. Any champion, and any promotion, no one could touch Reigns right now. And I think he's doing the best work of his career. So if he retained and they choose to do it so they could develop another star to maybe eventually dethrone Reigns, I wouldn't mind that either. It's no disrespect to Edge. I love Edge. He's one of my all-time favorites. I do think he wins as well, but you know, we'll see. I don't know if Daniel Bryan, why insert him as a triple threat? Maybe Edge wins, and then that's his first feud spinning off from that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see that as well. I do want to see some more matches being developed. I do like the women's division looks so much better than the men's right now, because you have Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley as two up and coming ladies against the champions. And you know, if you have two of those established, you also have a young a tag team in Tamina and Natalya getting a lot of play. Lana and Naomi, like, they're building up their own tag division. What the fuck is going on with the men's tag division? You know, like, holy shit. You know, and you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean I'm going on a curse rant here, but like, holy, and like, what are we doing with those guys? Again, it looks like this. I wouldn't be surprised if the Street Profits just get their belts back, you know, and that's where we're looking at it here. Anyway, AJ Styles and Omos, new tag champs. Who knows?
I think so.
We'll do. I think we'll do. We're gonna have to do a full WrestleMania preview once we get there. Braun Strowman is definitely gonna have to collect all the flags before he gets to Shane McMahon, before he gets slimed, because you know this whole match has turned into one giant double dare feud, which is so stupid. Anyway, let's wrap it up here. Want to say thank you to everybody who downloads. Thanks to everybody who listens. Thanks for everybody subscribing. You know how to do this. You can get us where you get all your wrestling podcasts. You can find us on Twitter at WrestlingGuysPC. You want to add your questions, your comments, your concerns. What do you think is the greatest WrestleMania match ever? Are we off on our Final Four? Who would you put in your own personal Final Four? Remember, next week, Final Four Watch Along, and we're going to pick our winners. At FPP Show, what are you guys coming down the pike? You have your Justice League and your Director's Cut. Is that the next episode you guys are doing?
Yes.
Awesome. So that's something to look forward to. What do you think is the best Director's Cut movie? Did you watch the J.L. Snyder Cut? Do you like it? Do you not like it? That's going to be a great point of contention for people who maybe think it was overblown and four hours too long.
And do director's cuts piss you off? Not in a negative way, like you don't want to see them, but just why didn't we get it to begin with?
Yeah, my immediate reaction is they don't, and I wish we got them every time. Anyway, so as we do that, at FPP Show, that's something to look forward to down the pike. You want to look forward to that. You want to subscribe to both. Listen to that one. Listen to this one. Go back and download the previous three rounds of the greatest WrestleMania match ever, and then come back and watch this one, and then into the Final Four. And you know how we do. And with that being said, this has been the Wrestling Guys Podcast. We came to talk about wrestling, drink some virtual beers. We're just about all out of virtual beers. They clink to seal the deal. Remember, next week, Final Four, watch along, baby. You don't want to miss that. Take care. Take care of yourself. Wash your damn hands. Wear your damn mask. You know how we do. Peace.